All right, well, we're going to get started this evening, and we're going to continue on in our study of living faith from the book of James as we continue studying on how to demonstrate living faith during times, specifically of conflict in our lives. Conflict with others will always occur. If you're a parent with children or if you remember growing up with siblings at all, you know that this is the case. Conflict happens all the time. And even as believers, we still dwell in fallen human flesh with weaknesses towards sin, and we're surrounded by other believers who likewise dwell in fallen human flesh that is susceptible to sin. And so there are going to be disagreements that naturally arise. And James, in this passage, wants to show us why. Why do these disagreements happen? James wants to show us this so that when disagreements do come up, we can successfully diagnose those conflicts and we can navigate them with living faith for the glory of God. Yes, you can glorify God even in conflicts by how you respond to it. And so James equips us in knowing how to respond to conflict for the glory of God with living faith by showing us the truths and the reality behind all conflict. He's going to do this in this passage by examining three basic forms of conflict. Conflict with others, it's at the beginning of verse 1. Conflict with oneself, that's at the end of verse 1 and in verse 3. And then conflict with God, and that's in verses 4 through 6. And we already looked at conflict with others last time. It's the most obvious form of conflict, and James discussed this at the beginning of verse 1, that long-standing conflict and disagreement among believers is not acceptable behavior among the people of God. We have been called for peace, as we talked about. We have been made for peace, and we have been given the tools that make for peace as well. And so James, beginning there in verse 1, says, "Whence quarrels and whence fighting among you? Where is all this coming from?" And we know that it doesn't come from God, and it doesn't come from following His wisdom. As James taught us at the end of chapter 3, the wisdom that is from God is first pure and then peaceable, right? And its fruit is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so if there are alliances and battle lines being drawn up between believers in a church, we know that it's because of at least one, if not both sides, have abandoned following the wisdom of God, and something else has become more important than listening to Him. But that still doesn't answer James's question. Where does quarrels and fights actually come from? We know where it doesn't come from. But where does it come from? And James is going to show us in this passage, it actually comes from conflict that is happening within oneself. That's at the end part of verse 1 into verse 3. And ultimately, it comes from conflict that you are having with God Himself in verses 4 through 6. So that's what causes all conflict. And we're going to take time to look at that tonight as we dig a little bit deeper into the issues of what causes conflict. And we're going to see that what lies beneath conflict with others is actually conflict with oneself, the end of verse 1 and verse 3. And that's what we're going to be focusing on tonight, that second issue. And so with that in mind, let's please read James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. James writes, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us? But He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now this is the Word of God, and we are thankful to God for it. So let's thank Him tonight. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the hearts. And we thank You that it does this, Father, when it comes to the area of conflict. Father, I pray that you would equip us by your Spirit through your word tonight to be able to know how to handle conflict when it comes and how to rightly look at it as an opportunity to demonstrate living faith to your glory. And Father, help us to look at that, look at conflicts in this way, not as things to win or as things to avoid, but as tools to observe our own hearts and to grow in greater Christ-likeness. So help us, Father, to understand these truths tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so after James explores the first arena of conflict, which is conflict with others, he then moves on to the second area, which is conflict with oneself. He says, what causes and quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? In other words, James is answering his own question here. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Answer your own passions that are at war within you. External conflicts always arise from internal conflicts. Whereas a man of peace, a man at peace within himself, will generally live a life of peace with others. A man who has a war within always produces a war without. Every conflict arises from warring internal passions. And that word passion is very interesting. It's the word from which we get our word hedonism, and it refers to sinful, self-indulgent desires. And these selfish internal desires that create conflict among others are described by James in verses 1 through 3 in three following ways. He describes these passions that produce warring as uncontrolled, unfulfilled, and ungenerous. So first, these war-making passions are described as uncontrolled desires. That's at the end of verse 1, where James says that these are, he describes them as passions that are what? He says, at war within you. Notice how they are described. They're not subdued. They're not controlled. They're uncontrolled. They're running free. They are waging war within you against your conscience. As 1 Peter 2:11 says, these passions of the flesh wage war against your soul. It's just what Paul describes when he uses the same word in Titus 3, verse 3, where he says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. In other words, before salvation, before you came to Christ, you weren't controlling your passions. Your passions were controlling you. You were a slave to them, and this is the state of every sinner apart from Christ. As Ephesians 2:3 states, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind. And so what causes conflict within relationships? And what causes conflict within among believers and even within the church? Answer, James says, it is caused by people who are not controlled by the Spirit, but who rather are dominated by selfish desires that are beyond their control. People who are enslaved to selfish passions beyond their ability to restrain. People controlled with passions that rage against anything that would stand in its way. And so that's the picture. These passions are at war. They're ready to fight anything and anyone who tries to restrain them. It is this deep down that produces anxiety, unrest, and eruptions of tension within relationships. Uncontrolled, unrestrained desires. James also describes them as unfulfilled desires. So if the first category of descriptions doesn't hit you, the second one will. Unfulfilled desires. That's in verse 2, where he says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Notice, what motivates the killing and the fighting and the quarreling that's mentioned in these verses? The answer that James gives is that it is unfulfilled desires. You desire and you do not have. You covet and you do not obtain. Therefore you kill, therefore you fight and quarrel. And all of these are very strong words that James uses, by the way. He says you desire, and that word means lust, overwhelming, desiring, driving urge. And you see these dominating desires in people's lives when it comes to sex or alcohol or drugs or stealing, and really it can be anything. The human heart can lust after anything because remember James 1:14, temptation comes from within. Every person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. If you get locked in an empty white room, you'll find that temptation has followed you there. And so James is saying, you have these strong, driving, evil compulsions. And if those lusts are frustrated and thwarted long enough, you lash out at others. James says, you murder. And sometimes, it's real murder. That's why people murder people. It's because their gratification is being thwarted in some way. They can't get what they want, and so they'll even kill to get it. And other times, it's inner hate, right? So it might not be actually taking a knife and plunging into someone's heart, but if looks could kill, right? Because they can't get what they want. Sometimes it's thoughts of murder because they can't get what they want. Sometimes it's destructive behavior that you see in our culture, like cutting because they can't get what they want. Sometimes it's suicide. They kill themselves. Why? Because they don't get what they want. In every instance, what causes that conflict, that destructive behavior in relationships? It's unfulfilled desires. You desire and do not have, so you murder. And then James says you covet. And that is, by the way, the verbal form of jealousy that was seen back in chapter 3, verse 14 and 16. So it's the jealousy associated with worldly wisdom. And James says you're jealous, you're envious of others. You want what other people have so badly that when you don't get it, when you covet and cannot obtain it, you fight and quarrel. This is the cause of conflict. It is pining for selfish pleasures. It is longing for evil lusts. It is a lack of contentment, striving for personal gratification. Because you can't get what you want, you lash out in anger and frustration towards others around you, towards those who get in the way of your desires. This causes quarrels and fightings among you. Uncontrolled and unfulfilled desires. If you want an illustration of this, we actually have an excellent example of it in Scripture with David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David in 2 Samuel 11 sees Bathsheba. He wants her. He can't have her. He is frustrated by Bathsheba's husband. And so what does he do? He murders, right? He kills because of unfulfilled desires. Well, that doesn't go over very well with Bathsheba's grandfather, Ahithophel, because David murdered his granddaughter's husband. Ahithophel wants revenge. And so when Absalom rebels four chapters later, what you'll find is Ahithophel joins Absalom and gives him very smart counsel to attack David while he's weak and vulnerable. However, Ahithophel's counsel is ignored, and seeing the writing on the wall that Absalom's rebellion is going to fail, Ahithophel returns to his home and kills himself. Why? Because of unfulfilled desires. So what causes conflict? It's uncontrolled desires. David saw Bathsheba. He couldn't stop. He kills somebody. And because of unfulfilled desires as well. As Ahithophel desires to enact revenge on David and is unable. So this is what causes conflicts, and you see that in the Old Testament all over the place. Uncontrolled desires, unfulfilled desires, and then finally, if it hasn't caught you yet, ungenerous desires. And that's at the end part of verse 2 into verse 3. In other words, by ungenerous, I mean entirely selfish. You're not thinking about other people. James says, you do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Why? To spend it on your own, there's the word again, passions. Now James says there at the end of verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. He's sitting there saying, what is he addressing? You do not have. Do not have what? Well, we know from chapter 3, verse 1, that some of them that he was talking to wanted positions of power and influence, didn't they, right? They wanted to be teachers. And we know from chapter 3, verse 13, that they also wanted to be known as wise and understanding among the body. But James has been pointing out that they lacked the spiritual wisdom that was necessary to occupy such positions. And interestingly enough, also, James' wording here in verse 2 reminds us of back at chapter 1, verse 5, when he encouraged us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so James is saying here, I think, the reason why you failed to obtain these positions of influence among the body is because you've never asked for the heavenly wisdom that's required to occupy them. You do not have because you do not ask. And so he was addressing some people in the body like that. But wait, someone might protest who's listening to this. But I have asked. I have prayed for wisdom. I've prayed for insight. I've prayed to be able to serve the people of God in this position. oh, yes, certainly. As James says next, well, you ask and you don't receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. So why has God not answered you and given you what you're wanting, even when the words coming out of your mouth might be totally fine? Why? It's because in your very prayers, James says, you're actually worshiping yourself. You're asking wrongly to spend it on your own passions. And so we pray for ourselves, right? Give me a place of service. Why? So that I can have the influence to do what I want. give me wisdom, Lord, to know what to do. Why? So I can have the insight to get what I want. And then we pray for others. Oh God, they're so deceived. Give them wisdom and insight. Why? So they can finally see that I am right. God, there is so much unrest right now in this relationship. Give our relationships peace. Why? So that they can all agree with me. James is exposing the human heart. Sometimes the words out of your mouth are fine, but the heart that's speaking them is totally, totally wrong. Sure, you might be asking for good things on the surface, but deep down, it's always just motivated by what you want out of the situation, not what God has said. It's not for God's glory, it's for your own passions, he says. You want to take God's good gifts, just like the prodigal son, and you want to direct them, squander them, waste them on your own desires. You don't really want God's wisdom, and you don't really want God's peace. You just want what you want. And so you're begging God to define peace and wisdom by your terms, not by his. So James is saying, listen, God's not going to answer those type of prayers. You won't receive anything that way. Now, some people might look at a verse like this and say, well, but wait a minute. I thought Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Yes, but you need to remember the context of that is chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, which is the Lord's Prayer, where our focus and motivation is to be set on God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Something is wrong if the only time you feel compelled to pray is when you have a selfish desire that isn't being met that you want met. And that's what these people in the Jerusalem church were doing, at least some of them. Instead of thanking the Lord for giving them all things richly to enjoy, instead of delighting in every good and perfect gift that their Father had eagerly given them, and instead of praying for God's will and God's glory in their lives, these people were abusing their access to the throne of grace in attempts to gratify their own selfish desires. And so their prayers weren't being answered. Why? Because God answers the prayers not of selfish hearts focused on personal desires, but of selfless hearts that are focused on God's desires. So this is what causes conflict with others. It's always because there is conflict going on in one's self. It is uncontrolled, unfulfilled, selfish passions warring within us. When we want something and do not get it, we get frustrated, and then we lash out in anger and hostility in others. It's all coming from within. To put it this way, conflict often reveals selfish idols that we are desperate to protect. Conflict reveals desperate idols that we are, selfish idols that we are desperate to protect. Conflict often reveals that there is something other than God that has become a non-negotiable in our lives. Conflict often shows that we have started to worship some idol other than God, and then we're upset because others won't worship that same idol with us. And so, whenever conflicts arise in a relationship, we should always examine two things. So this is application from this, right? So how do we handle this? Okay, if I know that these passions are going on within me, and this is what causes conflict, well, how do I discern what those passions are so that I can repent of them and work for peace in my own heart and therefore in the lives of those around me? Well, whenever conflict arises in a relationship, we should always examine two things. First, our dominating passions, and then second, our dominating prayers. So first, in the midst of conflict, if you're experiencing conflict in a relationship, examine your dominating passions in those moments. What is it that I want so badly right now, I'm willing to fight for it? What is it that I want so badly right now that I'm willing to fight for it? What desire do I have? Here's the second way of thinking about it. I'm going to give you four ways to think about it. Second question you can ask yourself is, what desire is feeling threatened or blocked by this person's actions? What desire is feeling threatened or blocked that's causing this hostility within me? Third way you could ask yourself this question is, what am I demanding instead of trusting God for? What am I demanding out of this situation instead of just trusting God for? Or the fourth way that you can examine dominating passions is by asking this question, what circumstance am I insisting on in order to be content? Because whenever you're ready to throw it down, it's always because you have lost contentment, right? You are fighting for something you think you deserve in that moment. So what circumstance am I insisting on in order to be content? This is one of the, these are four just questions that we can use to check ourselves when we're in the midst of conflict. Find out what those uncontrolled, unfulfilled, selfish passions are and repent of them. And I want you to think about that, right? We all have relationships in this room. Chances are, if you were to think through all of those relationships, you can probably think of a area of conflict in one of them. Ask yourself these questions and find out what is the passion of my heart in this area of conflict. Work towards peace with others by working on peace within yourself. So examine your dominating passions. And then second, in the midst of conflict, examine your dominating prayers. So this might be a little bit easier, right? It might be harder to do kind of like a heart evaluation, but this might be easier. What issue am I continually bringing up before the Lord when it comes to this relationship or situation? Right? What issue am I continually bringing up before the Lord? You can put it this way. What is the gravity well of all of my prayers? When I start praying for this, what do I keep on coming back to all the time? What is the thing that is driving me to my knees about this? Is it God's unconditional glory and kingdom and rule? Or is it always conditioned upon something that I want that I don't have because of this? So examine your dominating passions and examine your dominating prayers. In the midst of conflict, if you want peace without, peace with others, it starts by securing peace within, by getting those selfish, sinful passions dealt with. Conflicts are not merely things to escape or to win. Conflicts are tools to examine our own hearts. And so in the midst of conflict, may we in humility examine our passions as James has equipped us to do, and examine our prayers, so that we might walk in wisdom, so that we might walk in peace, so that we might walk in living faith for the glory of God. That's what I wanted to share tonight from James chapter 4. In light of that, I would bring that before the Lord tonight as we're praying that the Lord would help us to establish peace within ourselves in these ways. And if there is areas of conflict in our lives, that we would repent of our involvement in them and trust the Lord in all these ways.